Marcia Ball is with me on the Blues Break on WBGO, and this is the fourth time you've played live, about the seventh or eighth time you've actually been on for an interview or something. One time, of course, you came with Tracy Nelson and Irma Thomas,
that's right.
It was wonderful. But you're going to be at B.B. King's tonight. You're going to be in Philly at the World Cafe tomorrow night, and then the Guard Art Center in New London, Connecticut on Thursday, Friday, Landmark on Main Street in Port Washington. I've played there. And SOPAC on Saturday and Sunday, Bearsville Theater in Woodstock, one-nighters.
And those four gigs, we're playing with the Subdudes.
And who are they?
Oh, my God. They're a wonderful New Orleans band, originally in New Orleans. The lead singer, I would say, they all sing wonderfully, but the lead singer is Tommy Malone. John Magney plays the piano and the accordion in the band. And they had a really good run for some years in the early 2000s, in the 90s even, maybe. I remember Tommy when, years ago, there was a band in New Orleans called Little Queenie and the Percolators. And Tommy was the young rhythm guitar player in that band. And they would push him to the front and make him sing a song every night. And now everybody loves his voice, and he's a total featured singer in the Subdudes.
So are you going to record with them?
I would love to do some work with them. My friend Shelley King has recorded with them and written quite a bit with them. They're great writers. John Magney, the keyboard player, they write a lot together.
But it's your band tonight at B.B. King.
It's my band tonight, yes.
And from your band you have Eric. Can you want to whip something out while we're here?
Sure. You want a song right now?
Whatever you like.
Okay. This is called That's How It Goes. When I woke up this morning, I saw the sun shining in my door. I opened up my eyes and saw I did not have to worry anymore. I'm gonna let a little secret slip. It's not the destination, it's a trip. It's the moss you gather while you roll. Don't you know that's how it goes? You got to stop, look, and listen. The message that you're getting is clear. You can't wait for Christmas, Lord. It's Christmas every day of the year. So count your blessings one by one and welcome every rising sun. 'Cause pretty soon your race is run. Yes, it is. Don't you know that's how it goes? Woo! Well, I help you and you help me. That's the way the world should be. Tit for tat, give and take. Be good for goodness sake. I'll pick you up if you should fall. Works both ways if it works at all. Holding your heart to people you love. Always thank the powers above. Everyone deserves a share, so keep your promise. Fair is fair. People, listen while I sing this song. I'd rather have you with me. Together we can travel along, yeah. 'Cause it's a feeling of the wind in your face, the sound of the music they play, all the friends you make along the way, yeah. You know that's how it goes. Oh, you know that's how it goes. Woo, you know how it goes. Yeah, keep on going. Gotta keep on working. Gotta keep on trying, y'all. Gotta keep on going. All right.
That's how it goes on WBGO when Marcia Ball comes by and plays. Brought in Eric Bernhardt again this time around, as I think 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think it's been 2 years.
Tattooed Lady came out?
Yeah.
Right when that was coming out? You and I have in common 1972, really in some ways careers began, because 1972, my first year on the radio, 1972, your first year on record. Frida yes. and the Fire Dogs.
That's right. That's right.
Were you Frida?
I was. Yeah.
What did you play?
Where?
What?
Country
what?
Music. We were a traditional country band with long hair playing for a bunch of other hippies in Austin, Texas. And it was kind of the foundation of what they call now the progressive country scene. And it was around the time Willie moved back to Austin. And Doug Somm was there, and he had connections in the wider world. And it maybe probably is the birth of what they call Americana. It was around that time, and it was based and influenced by that stuff. It was in our play, and what we did was influenced by Graham Parsons, as I read somewhere, turning the Byrds from one of the most popular rock bands in the country to one of the least popular country bands in the country. But, you know, when he took the Byrds to Sweetheart of the Rodeo, and when Bob Dylan did Nashville Skyline, and all these records that came out, the band's records came out, and all of a sudden country music and the country influence was legitimate. And there we were in the heart of it. Everybody had grown up with Hank Williams and Ray Price, and so we began to play that music. We took it very seriously and played it straight, and although we weren't. And
do you remember one of the songs that you did? Do you ever do any of those songs?
Oh gosh, I really don't. I do remember. We had a reunion. The Fire Dogs had a reunion last year, and we played a lot of them. I've never seen the inside of a barroom or listened to a jukebox all night long. But I see these are the things that bring you pleasure. So I'm gonna make some changes in our home. I've heard it said, if you can't beat 'em, join 'em. So if that's the way you wanted me to be, I'll change if it takes that to make you happy. From now on, you're gonna see a brand new me. Because your good girl's gonna go bad. I'm gonna be the swingin'est swinger you've ever had. And if you like them all painted up and powdered up, well, you ought to be glad, 'cause your good girl's gonna go bad. I can't believe I just did that.
I think you need to revive that. Next album with a very hip horn chart and everything. Everybody blasting away. That's so much fun. But, the thing is, you talk about country, the influence and the twisting and crisscrossing of all these different styles of music, but it's all the blues. Everything comes from the blues, really.
Well, that's what I say, too. I just did a little interview, and somebody asked me about how the blues influenced me, and it influenced everybody, I think. There just wasn't, there's nothing that I can think of that didn't emanate somehow from the basics of the blues progressions. And even a lot of times I hear what's considered to be some pretty, what is definitely some pyrotechnic jazz, And the foundation, when you listen to it, is a pretty simple progression of chords that you could either be playing wildly wonderful over or are really basically funky.
The Boston Globe described you, Marcia Balda, as an irresistible celebratory blend of rollicking two-fisted New Orleans piano, Louisiana swamp rock, and smoldering Texas blues from a contemporary storyteller. But that's really from where you came from. It's all that stuff. All that stuff came from where you came from.
That's right. I grew up in that.
You were born on one side of the line, and you grew up on the other side between Louisiana and Texas.
Exactly. Like Gatemouth Brown, but the other way around. Did you know that?
No.
I was born in Orange, Texas, and raised in Vinton, Louisiana, where all my people were in Louisiana. Gatemouth was actually born in Vinton, Louisiana, and raised in Orange.
Wow.
And he wrote a song about it.
Illinois Jacquette also was born on the Louisiana side, but grew up enough to become a Texas tenor, they called him.
Yeah.
But you could always hear that in all those cats, even Ornette Coleman and so forth. You would hear there's some kind of deep, 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 deep blues in all of them.
Well, I think that might be what the Texas tenors have in common, you know, less bebop, more blues.
What makes it swamp?
Well, there's a few typical chord or rhythmic things that are swamp pop, and definitely that Fats Domino, you know. That's definitely swamp pop. There's always songs like that in there. And
What's it got to do with alligators and all of that? What's swampy about it?
Oh, I guess that comes from the lyrics, but I don't know. It's a deep soulfulness that I guess that's what it is. It's kind of there's soul in there. There's some Cajun in there. There's Zydeco, which to me, to take you off in another direction, I've always thought that Zydeco, especially the way Clifton Chenier created it, is Chicago blues or the blues played on the accordion.
And that's the only difference.
The main difference.
With the rub board or the washboard.
Well, he's your percussionist, yeah. but the heart and soul of Zydeco is blues. And what I love about that is how close I feel Clifton's music and Little Walter's music are.
Oh, wow.
And Little Walter, as it turns out, is from Louisiana, and they knew each other.
And Little Walter is at the heart of all those records on Chess.
And he's not typical. Little Walter has something different about his songs, his progressions, that's not quite Delta. If you really hear Louisiana, you hear swamp in Little Walter.
Do you do something different, like with your left hand in Zydeco, that you would do differently in Texas blues, whatever you would call Texas blues?
I have a busy left hand. I'm a pain in the neck for the bass player. Everything I do is different and much more left-handed, actually, than right-handed. So
but that's the romping. That's the rhythm.
Yeah.
And the harmonies also. Because the harmonies in all different music is sort of amazing. You think that there's just these 12 notes, but the infinite variety of these notes banging into each other is wonderful.
Yes, it's something else. And then, you know, like you played Poodle a little while ago, and Poodle, Play With Your Poodle is a Tampa Red song. You know, it's been recorded by many, many people. But when I heard it, I thought, this is a fun dance thing. We can make this roll. And that's we set it to the Zydeco beat. But
I actually emceed for you once at a dance. Remember at Lincoln Center?
Yes.
And people were out there just romping their brains out. It was wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. Let's talk about you, though. I mean, as a singer, though, you were very much inspired by Irma Thomas.
Very much. Oh, my God. If I could, you know, her songs are great. To aspire to that voice is something impossible. We played together in Austin in October. She came over for a fundraiser, and we played. And I was standing next to her when she was backstage with her wireless mic, and she's about to walk out on stage, and the band is playing, and she starts singing. And I'm just standing there, and that voice comes out of her like that. And I just think, man, that is... And she even says she doesn't know why, she just opens her mouth and it's there.
Let's listen to that voice. Irma Thomas recorded an album called Simply Grand, each song with a different piano player, and one of those songs including Marcia Ball at the piano. And you remember that day?
Oh, yeah.
And that song, Same Old Blues?
Same Old Blues, a Freddie King song.
On WBGO. 1 week from today is indeed Fat Tuesday.
Yes. If this is a Tuesday.
This is a Tuesday. Well, you might. Marcia Ball is on the road playing one nighter. So you have to have somebody who's there who can keep track of where you're supposed to be.
Yeah. One guy says, what time is it? And somebody else says, Sunday.
Yeah. 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 But that Sing It was very much in a New Orleans kind of a feel.
Oh, absolutely. That was written by David Egan from down in Louisiana.
And that was Marcia Ball and Tracy Nelson. Both of you, when you were on with me and with Irma Thomas, were saying how you were both sort of amazed when you were in the studio that you were actually singing with your idol.
No kidding, both of them. I was singing with two of my idols.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lots of fun. And you've gotten to play with all kinds of really terrific people through the years, but you've been playing more and more. When did you really start as a band leader?
Well, I guess after the Fire Dogs broke up, the band we were talking about, the country band, I started my own band. It came down to whether I was going to be in a band or start a band or do something else. And I was pregnant, so I decided to start my own band so that I could call the shots. And that was 1974. I started my own band.
So did you do the whole the neophyte thing where there's the acolyte works with the master and then you go out to be a master yourself? You know, I mean, you're a side person, as it were.
Yeah, although you know, with the Fire Dogs, it was interesting because I was the kind of the least experienced of the band, but my name was out front, and I was the chick singer and a featured artist. So I was already kind of in a lead role in a way, but I always, even to this day, I surround myself with superior musicians. So I might be saying what time we're going to leave and keeping track of the calendar and what all we're doing, but I have people in my band always who can guide me musically, and I've always had that. I did then and I do now.
Surprise you, shock you sometimes?
Well, just bring me along. Just carry me along. You know, just say, this might be a better way to do that. Try this chord. You know, just let's put this arrangement. Sometimes they don't even ask me. Sometimes they just do it.
How many in your band?
There are five of us on stage on any given night. And Eric Bernhardt, sax player. Mighty Mike Shermer, guitar player. Don Bennett, my bass player, who's been with me for 35 years, and Corey Keller, my young drummer, who's actually on his second pass through the band.
That's the band going to play at the B.B. King's
yes,
tonight.
Yes, that's the band.
World Cafe in Philly tomorrow night, Guard Arts Center in New London, Connecticut, Thursday, Landmark on Main Street in Port Washington on Friday, SOPAC on Saturday, in South Orange, and Bearsville Theater in Woodstock on Sunday. And the last four with the Subdudes from New Orleans, together with Marcia Ball. With me in the blues break, what's the hardest music you play?
Ooh, gosh. I think sometimes some of the ballads are the ones that that require more concentration, more serious thought to them. But gosh, would it just sound so lazy if I said I do the stuff that's fun?
Yeah, yeah. But you know, I think of when I was asking, because I think you're playing Zydeco and you're playing all these different styles, and they have different rhythm things, and they all have different harmonic things, and just the finger work is different for some of these musics. When you're playing, and I would think some of the finger work in like Zydeco and is intricate. It's difficult, I would think, sometimes to learn it. I mean,
yeah. Well, I'm always trying to improve and learn stuff. So, like I said, It could be anything. It would be the newest song that I'm working on, and.
But I never thought of a ballad being hard work, because you have to think more. You have to, because it's in simple for your fingers. It's the simplest one, but it's,
right in many ways, yeah.
But still, you got to be more concentrated.
Yeah,
that's all about touch and heart.
Yes.
So let's have some heart. Play me a ballad.
Okie dokie. This is from the Tattooed Lady record, and it's called Human Kindness, and it's I'm going to send it out to everybody. This world is what we make it. Every day we can try to save it or throw it away, and all that separates us are walls we have made. We've got the same dreams, we've got the same plans, we've got to raise our voices up for our fellow man. And when we open up our hearts, the light comes shining through. Human kindness flows from me and you. We're the same as one another. Wherever we are, sisters and brothers under infinite stars, and children of mothers with babes in our arms. We've got the same eyes, we've got the same hands, we've got to cry for justice all over this land. And when we open up our hearts, the light comes shining through. Human kindness flows from me and you. When we open up our hearts, the light comes shining through. Human kindness flows and compassion grows. Only heaven knows how much good we can do. When we open up our hearts, the light comes shining through. Human kindness flows from me and you.
Marcia Ball is with me, and Eric Bernhardt is with me on WBGO. They're going to be playing together, especially tonight at BB King's. One-nighters. And you're going to go from these shows around here. You keep on going.
Yeah, we keep going. We are, after the kind of New England and this part of the country, we keep going south. We go to D.C. on Mardi Gras. We're playing at the Hamilton in Washington, D.C. on Mardi Gras night. And in Richmond the next night, and then we go to the Midwest, and we have some dates in Oshkosh, Minneapolis, Mankato, Eau Claire.
Just in time for winter to finally show up.
Oh, in Chicago, too.
Yeah.
Well, if it does, yeah. I mean, it was snowy up here. I feel like we might have been here for the crack of spring. I hope not, kind of for your sake. But
feels like it. But yeah. Who knows what day it is or what season it is anymore. When you were growing up, that whole scene down there, I read a list of folks who came from around there in between Texas and Louisiana scene, Janis Joplin, the Edgar Winter, Johnny Winter, Queen Ida.
Yes, from Lake Charles.
The Zydeco thing.
Katie Webster from Lake Charles.
Lonnie Brooks.
He has a great story about coming over to play on the Louisiana side and, you know, kind of getting run out. They go and they dance all night, and then they kind of get run across the state line. But he said when he was trying to learn to play guitar, he was sitting on the front porch of a house in Port Arthur. And you know how he said, I felt something behind me. And I looked, and he said there was a car idling in the street, and Clifton Chenier was standing out there listening to me. And he just said, keep it up, boy. You're doing good.
You were actually, I remember you talking about how it was more, I can't remember which though. One side is where you were living, but the other side is where you would party.
You partied on my side. The Louisiana side was the party side. And my daddy grew up in the same town, and it was always that way. It was always easier to drink and party, and all the clubs were on the Louisiana side.
But you recorded with Lonnie Brooks and Long John Hunter.
Right.
And Philip Walker. And you recorded the Lone Star Shootout, a Texas thing, though. It's a whole, that track, Bon Temps Roulette, is pure Louisiana, right?
Yes, it is. And those guys are all, well, like I and others who grew up down there say, that line is pretty mythical. It's pretty much an imaginary line because, you know, Clifton spent a lot of his time in Port Arthur. So a lot of his best gigs were in Houston, you know, big Catholic halls in Houston where Clifton always played. All those bands were back and forth across the line, and all the great Houston players were connected to New Orleans in so many ways. And you know, I mean, Big Mama Thornton and Bobby Bland, you know, recording in Houston for Duke and Peacock Records.
Yeah.
Lavelle White.
Let's have you play something. You were playing. You were just playing when you came in. You know, it's fun. Sound check is basically just, let's do something. Let's
it's
play.
Me getting to play a piano because when I'm on the road, you know, it's not like I have a piano in my hotel room. Like a guitar player has a guitar. I'm just sitting there thinking, I wish I had a piano. And now I walk in and you have this Steinway and it feels like butter. So,
well, let's have some butter from Mars.
Okay, here it's Mardi Gras. The party started at 4 o'clock, went to the midnight hour. Everybody got so high, they couldn't get much higher. The landlord come at 6 and 10, said last time I told you, 12 o'clock, I'm calling a cop and this party better be over. That's enough of that stuff. We're gonna tear the whole place up. We got a little too little and a lot too much. Woo, that's enough of that stuff. We had Fast Out playing on the jukebox and Fats on the radio and Toots on the piano in the living room. The Neville Brothers singing Ico, Ico. Queenie in the kitchen, Dr. John in the hall. Everybody having a ball. Irma and Smiley, Shirley and Lee. Ain't nobody telling me that that's enough of that stuff. We gonna tear the whole place up. We got a little too little, woo, a lot too much. Oh, that's enough of that stuff. Thank you. a city that care for God. Everybody gonna party a lot. The honky tonk, woo, they never shut. The band's still playing when the sun come up. We got to drink a little voodoo juice. Shake your funky little feathers loose. Everybody's gonna have a good time. Marching on a second line, 'cause that's enough of that stuff. We're gonna tear the whole place up. We got a little too little, a lot too much. Ooh, that's enough of that stuff.
There's never enough of that stuff. I love that stuff. Marcia Ball and Eric Bernhardt with me on WBGO. They're going to be at B.B. King's tonight. They're on tour around this scene and around this country. Where do you like to play the best?
Oh, that's a hard one. You know, I've got favorite clubs all over the country. Probably... traditionally, my answer is Fitzgerald's in Chicago, Berwyn, Illinois. Fitzgerald's in Berwyn. They've been around 36 years. Yeah. We played there even before Don Bennett was in the band, so probably 37 years. I don't know. We've been playing. We've been together all these years. I think we have a pact. When they close, I quit, or when I quit, they close. But I don't think either of us are going to do either one of those things. So I always say it's the best club in America and therefore the world. But we love playing in New York. We love playing in the city. It's just so exciting to be here. Like I said, we have great clubs that we play. Seattle, the Jazz Alley in Seattle is great. We're so fortunate that we get to just go to these neat places. I mean, there's a performance space in Phoenix at the Musical Instrument Museum in Phoenix, which has, you know, a couple hundred thousand square feet of the history of musical instruments and an auditorium. I did it with Irma. I did it with Maria Muldaur and Tracy in a tribute to Sister Rosetta.
Shout, Sister Shout.
Yeah. We did Rosetta and Memphis Minnie songs on that show that we did together there. So, you know, we just get to go to these cool places. And
do you have a tour bus?
No. No, thank you. I don't.
How do you get around, the five of you, and more than five of you?
The obviously. Six of us, because Johnny, our sound engineer, is with us always. We will fly, like we did, up to this area. We flew into Newark, actually, a week ago, and we rent a couple of cars, and we just travel around. We divide up according to, I don't know how we divide up, but we put three people in each car, and off we go. And it works. And that way we have this little tight pattern of dates. And then when we're done, we're going to fly to the Midwest, and then we're going to fly home. Buses are big old pieces of equipment. And I'm not into big old pieces of equipment.
And where do you park anyway?
And where do you park it? And you know, to me, they're expensive. You have to have a driver. You have to have at least a driver, maybe two. No, we're a very tight little group, little organization.
When you work out the songs, is it like that with this tight little organization? I mean, you work out the songs together. Does somebody be the arranger? Do head arrangements sort of happen as you write? You write so many of the songs that you sing.
Yeah.
You write.
Yes, I write. And a lot of times I bring the skeleton of a song. Our most recent one that'll be on the next record is a little nostalgia piece, which I wrote with Gary Nicholson, the great Nashville songwriter, incredibly prolific songwriter, called They Don't Make Them Like That, No More, and which was my idea. But, of course, Gary just, when you sit down with Gary, you're going to get a song. And so we put it together, but we had the bones, and I brought it to the guys, and we've been playing it. And night after night, I start hearing it take shape, and Mike and Eric work out parts that are in some way simulate a horn section or the horn parts that you might hear, more than just a sax player playing. Mike will play a part or two, and Eric will play a part. And it comes out, eventually it's an arrangement.
Can we hear the song in these two parts here we have today?
Yeah, I guess so. It'll be the skeleton. It'll be the debut of this song. It's called They Don't Make Them Like That No More. One, two, three. I used to drive my old grandma's car. It had them suicide doors. 600 pounds of Detroit chrome and a four on the floor. We go floating down a highway like a Mississippi riverboat. Oh, oh, Lord, they don't make them like that no more. Nights we go dancing while the band put on a show. Down at the White Sands Supper Club, King Curtis on the saxophone. Well, he set our world a-spinning. How that man could blow. Oh, oh, Lord, they don't make them like that no more. They don't make them like that. They fade away too fast. Like those songs my daddy used to sing. Well, they break your heart for sure. Old blues and country music, well, they played it on the radio. Peggy Sue and Lonely Street, and let the good times roll. Oh, oh Lord, they don't make them like that no more. Like that, they fade away too fast. They don't make them like that. Now all the stuff I love, it's built to last. Things don't hold together like they did before. Oh, oh Lord, they don't make them like that no more. Now love is like an empty house you make into a home. The stronger the foundation, the higher up you can go. We built this house together, brick by brick and stone by stone. Oh Lord, they don't make them like that no more. They don't make them like that. They fade away too fast. They don't make them like that. And all the stuff I love, it's built to last. Things don't hold together like they did before. Oh, oh, oh Lord, they don't make them like that. Oh, oh Lord, they don't make them like that. Oh, oh Lord, they don't make them like that no more.
They don't make them like Marsha Ball no more. On WBGO Newark, the Blues Break. Michael Bourne with you, and she's with me, and it's been great having you again. Now, that's a new song, and you've said that the new albums, the first thing I said to you almost was you're overdue for a new album.
Yeah.
And albums come when you have enough songs that you write.
Right.
So it's the songwriter in you that drives the album.
I think only now I now only need about 8 or 10 more songs.
Holy,
I'm ready.
Okay, but you still got you are in the works, right?
We're in the works.
Okay, well, that's a good thing. The one thing I still wanted to ask you about, and I've never asked you about in all these times, is Austin. No, Austin, because I always heard that Austin was the hip scene and where all this different music was coming together. But the story is the story like you were driving to San Francisco and the car broke down in Austin?
It's pretty much the story, yeah. I mean, we did break down and we had to have some work done on our Austin Healey Sprite, which we were moving with everything we owned in. And we got to Austin. We had friends there and we had intended to stop and visit. And then we had car trouble. And by the time the car was repaired, we had just fallen in love with Austin.
And what was it about Austin?
Well, at the time, an incredible load of charm. It's a college town. It was the state capital. It was not very large, but it was incredibly vibrant. There were more hippies than I had ever seen in my life in one place. And they seemed to be, like, cool. You know, everything was, like, okay. It was mellow, I guess, is the best way to put it. And we were heading for San Francisco. I had been in a band in Baton Rouge, and there were two guitar players. And when the band broke up, one moved to Austin and the other went to San Francisco. So we were going to go to San Francisco, but we stayed with the one in Austin. And like about 3 days into that trip, after we had been taken to the lake and to another incredible water spot and been to a party near the university, and realized that we could get jobs at the university and, you know, and it was close enough to home that, you know, I could run back. If we got hungry, we could go home and eat. You know, it was practically that, 5 hours from Vinton, Louisiana. So all of that kind of contributed to our deciding that that was really more our speed.
One of the things I read about it was you said you liked the food in Austin.
Well, I fell in love with Mexican food. It doesn't take you long to get hooked on salsa. When you start thinking about it in the morning, when you start, you know, thinking about chips and salsa in the morning, you know, I can remember, thinking, okay, on the way home. Well, and we didn't have air conditioning in our house. So on the way home from work at the university, we'd stop at the Mexican restaurant pretty much closest to our house every day and get a, you know, regular dinner, which was probably something like $1.59 and a cold beer. And that is Austin. That was Austin in 1970.
Well, here in Newark, 2017, you got any Mexican in you? Anything that do you feel that food has gotten into your music?
Oh, definitely. And once again, and I'm going to credit Doug Somm for this. You know, he's a guy who never recognized that state line, that border. He loved everybody from Mobile to Corpus Christi, you know, or the border or beyond. You know, he brought Freddie Fender back to us out of the valley and into the clubs in Austin to play with my band backing him up and Doug promoting him. He loved Link Davis Jr., who played saxophone and accordion with Asleep at the Wheel, and he played with Doug. And Link told me that he loved Doug because Doug sang just like Link's dad, Link Davis Sr. And, you know, so those guys, and Link Davis Sr., of course, was friends with Harry Schultz, who wrote Jolie Blonde. And it's a long history of interrelationships across the border, so that when you hear Sonny and the Sunliners, it's hard to tell that band from San Antonio from Warren Storm over in Lafayette.
I fell in love with San Antonio when I was there. That's a great city.
It's a great city. It's the only other place in Texas I would live.
Okay. But in the meantime, you're living on the road mostly.
Exactly.
Marcia Ball, she's going to be again tonight at the B.B. King's, and she's on tour right around this scene, and then she's going to keep on going. Can you leave us with something wonderful?
I knew you were going to ask for that. How about we do Tattooed Lady? You think that'd be okay?
That would be wonderful.
Okay, that's the title song to the old record. The old record, not the new record. Lady and the alligator man living in a trailer in the promised land. In the summertime, they hit the road. They're the main attraction in a traveling show, playing every carnival across the land. The tattooed lady and the alligator man. Well, she dances the hoochie-coochie-coo-poo, and he crawls on his belly like a crocodile too. And for her grand finale, they climb two by two to a spot way up in the sky. And when the spotlight hits them, they fly. And when they land, the crowd goes wild. Woo! And they clap their hands for the tattooed lady and the alligator man. Well, she always knew what she wanted to do. She was just 18, she got her first tattoo. A little green gator with a smiling face. She put that critter in a private place. She said, don't you know that's just a start? She turned herself into a work of art. Midway sideshow, hot as blazes. One standout in a thousand faces. There was something about him she recognized. He was rough around the edges, a familiar smile. She said, I know him, he knows me. I feel the pull of my destiny. And now she dances the hoochie-coochie-coo-poo, and he crawls on his belly like a crocodile do. And for a grand finale, they climb two by two, ooh yeah, to a spot way up in the sky. And when the spotlight hits them, they fly. And when they land, the crowd goes wild. Ooh, and they clap their hands for the tattooed lady and the alligator man. Well, the leaves start falling, they head for home. Sit beside the river, let the cool breeze blow. The kids are swinging way up in the trees, like they were born on a flying trapeze. There's a boy and a girl, a set of twins. One looks like her and the other like him. And she dances the
Hoochie-coo-chee-coo, woo, little bitty ring. And he crawls on his belly like Daddy Crocodile do. And for a grand finale, they climb two by two by two to a spot way up in the sky. And when the spotlight hits them, they fly. And when they land, crowd goes wild. Woo! And they clap their hands for the tattooed lady and the alligator man. Ladies and gentlemen, the tattooed lady and the alligator man.
You are the best. You're my favorite guest on WBGO. And Marcia Ball and Erica Bernhardt, she brought along today to play the tenor sax. Thank you again for coming in, Eric.
Eric.
And Marcia, always a fun time. Your fourth time playing, and then about your seventh or eighth time on with me after all these years. So it's always good to have you.
Well, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me at this iconic, amazing radio station. And on your show.
You can actually listen to us now in Austin on the web.
Yeah.
Yes. They're playing tonight at B.B. King's World Cafe in Philly tomorrow night, Thursday night, Guard Arts Center in New London, Connecticut, Friday night, Landmark on Main Street in Port Washington, and SOPAC on South Orange on Saturday. Sunday, going to be at the Bearsville Theater in Woodstock. They're going to be with the Subdudes. And then Mardi Gras in D.C.
On and on and on.
And on and on and on. Well, get that new album out.
Okay.
And then come back.
Okay.
We're Tattooed Lady and the Alligator Man is your most recent album on
Alligator Records. Yeah.
So, you know, we should go out with something from that because that's a lot of what you're going to be playing on the
show. Yeah, we do a lot of those songs.
There's a song on here that I especially love called Clean My House.
Yeah.
Which I mean... Blues is down to earth, right? Is there anything more down to earth than cleaning one's house?
Well, but it's kind of a double entendre, too.
Well, isn't all of it?
Yeah.
It's all metaphors, anyway. Here's Marcia Ball cleaning her house on WBGO.